And during this presentation, I'm very interested in getting to know who is in the audience, so I'll be asking you some questions as we go. And I did upload a PDF of my presentation and also a handout so that you can have access to links that may be useful to you if you're interested in bike share work. So the, let's see if this works. Yes, it does. All right. I want to disclose that I have no relationships to disclose. And I would like to give you a little bit of history about APBP so that you as public health professionals will have an opportunity to seek out our members to be able to make progress on your issues. So we are a professional association throughout North America. We have about 100 members in Canada, predominantly US and some throughout the world. Our members tend to be in the fields that you would imagine most road people would be in, planners, engineers, landscape architects, but also law enforcement and public health. And we really need to work across professions in order to make sure that we are working together to make walkable, livable, bike-friendly communities. APBP does have a booth in the expo hall. We're number 806, so I would encourage you to come and visit us. That would be great. The good news is that there's lots of opportunities to collaborate across professions on safe routes to school and complete streets. And as you saw from the last presentation, I'm pretty darn excited to see what the mayor or what the governor of Hawaii said, particularly because we had worked to present a complete streets workshop in 2012 and worked with the public health department there. So it's really good to see positive outcomes. We do offer, our niche tends to be education, so we offer a monthly webinar program, and we recently have introduced the concept of chapters, so we have about 9 chapters around the U.S. and Canada. And again, our members are working on pedestrian accessibility, bike plans, ped plans, bike parking, but here I'm going to be speaking to you predominantly about bike share programs, and many of our members are working on bike share, both the feasibility study side, planning side, and the implementation side. So here's where I get a little audience engagement. Can you tell me if you have a bike, if you own a bike? Would you just raise your hand? Okay, thank you. That gives me a good sense. And who has ever rented a bicycle when you've gone on vacation? Thank you. And who has used a bike share system in a city that you've visited? Okay, a few people. Good, great. So can you just call out the cities where you have used bike share? DC, New York, Denver, Chicago, okay. Any other? Boston, okay. And Boulder, fabulous, great. So there are a lot of bike share systems out there, which is really helpful. And I'm just going to tell a little bit for those who have not utilized bike share what it is so that you'll have a framework as we go forward. So it is a public use bike. They are typically located in a docking station. They do need electricity to work because you have to swipe your card if you're a day user. You have to insert your key fob if you're an annual user. You do pay to ride. So you can have a membership, and I just am giving you the stats on a most recent bike share introduction in Seattle. Believe it or not, Seattle and Portland were not the first to do bike share, but this is Seattle is catching up, and their bike program is called Pronto, which is kind of an interesting word, but it's $85 for a year membership, or you can be a day or a multi-day user. So if you're in town for a visit or a conference, that's kind of a nice thing to do. And there is a limited time on a use. So if you've rented a bike, you know that typically you would need to bring it back within a day or 2 days or a week or however long you've rented a bike. But in this instance, it's a fairly short time frame. It's only 30 minutes usually. And if you stay out over that, then you do get charged an overage, which can be kind of hefty. And if you keep it longer than 24 hours, your credit card will be charged for the cost of the bike, which is exciting. But however, I do want to point out that you can take a bike, multiple bikes during a day. So you could take a hop to one station and then get off and do whatever you want to do, have a coffee or whatever, and then you can get back on the bike and keep moving. So this is an example, again, for folks who might not have seen what this looks like. They run on electricity, but you can use solar, which is good, and that plays into where you site some of them sometimes. There is a kiosk where you do your business, and you have to read the, you know, all of the little tiny print about what the rules are. The bikes are typically all the same in appearance, and they can be designated by the sponsor with a logo, which is kind of nice. And this particular picture, actually, I want to attribute to Mia Burke, who did a presentation for us from Alta Planning and Design. And this was when they were talking about how they could brand and promote the bike share program and make it locally sustainable through sponsorship. So again, very rapid growth. More than 600 cities worldwide have bike share right now. I think many of you perhaps have heard of Velib in Paris. That was one of the early ones, but not the first. And it's pretty exciting to see how many places are adding bike share. You tend to see it mostly now in larger cities or in university settings. The bikes, I use the word big and lumbering because I'm a bit of a smaller person, so some of the bikes really do seem big to me. They're typically a three-speed bike. They have lights forward and backwards. There are baskets so that you can carry things. We have found, and a number of studies are underway right now. I participated in an interview just earlier, I guess it was last week, with UC Berkeley, and they're looking at the safety data. Because what they have found is that people who are riding bike share bikes tend to have a lower rate of crashes and injury crashes, and there have been either none or one or two fatalities, depending on who you talk with. So what is it about these bikes or this program that is resulting in a better safety record? And we're wondering, is it safety in numbers? So know that there are studies coming out about this right now. What about helmets? Who has ridden bike share and brought their own helmet? Have you ever seen a bike helmet vending machine? Yes, where did you see it? Okay. Well, thank you for that lead-in, because Seattle is really going to be our guinea pig on that. And I think it will be the first place in a system-wide setting where we are going to have an opportunity to see what the use rate is for helmets. Now, Seattle is one of the few cities where helmets are required for all age users. Sometimes it's under a certain age, but in this case, it's all users. I think the next really big area where we're going to see growth is the smaller cities, and I'd like to explore one of those quickly as we move forward. So what is really appealing about bike share? And it gets to a little bit about what you talked about. You can see it. Other people are doing it. It's fun. It looks like you might want to do that. It's pretty easy to use, not rocket science. It's pretty inexpensive in the scheme of things. If you've ever had trouble finding a place to park your car or park your bike, bike share is fantastic because there's a place that you can put your bike. There's an app on your phone. You can find where there's a place to park. What if you have a flat tire on your bike? That's always a hassle. But if you have a flat tire, you can just pop that bike into the next kiosk you see, take out a new bike, push the repair button, turn the seat around to indicate that it's a broken bike, and you're all set to go. And it really is that bike share is a new mobility option. And that is pretty exciting in cities that want to attract a younger workforce. There are all kinds of marketing efforts around bike share. Lots of times you see these four-word groupings, which is interesting to me. In Toronto, it's rent, release, ride, and return, and we'll take a look at DCs in just a moment. So a lot of us who have studied the concept of how you get people, more people, to walk and bike have really wondered about the role of bike share in this transformation that's happening really nationwide but worldwide as well. And we're all eagerly studying it, I think. But one of the ideas that I'd like to convey to you is that we typically, as we've planned transportation, we have looked at issues such as, can the cars get there? Can they get there fast? What is the delay? But now we're really looking at a different paradigm for transportation. And I'd like to give credit to the city of Portland for the transportation hierarchy, which puts pedestrians first and at the top of the planning structure, followed by bicycles. Some places will pop public transit above bicycles, commercial vehicles and trucks, and high occupancy vehicles. And the last road user that we're planning for, that public right-of-way user, would be the single occupant vehicle. So this really turns the way planning is happening on its head, and we're seeing a lot more engineers and planners adopt these great principles. And this is a concept that we saw on the international scan that was done in 2009. If you're really a policy wonk and you want to read a study, that's a good one, because we, over time, have made a lot of headway based on the recommendations that came through that Federal Highway Administration funded initiative. So we're really beginning to see some new opportunities and ways to look at getting around. The way we count trips through the household transportation study, we often will count the longer trip. So if walking is part of your trip to transit, it doesn't even get counted, which is really a shame, because what is not counted doesn't count. And we know in terms of funding that that's really problematic. So that's the area that we want to work on. One of the revolutionary reasons for bike share is that cell phone. You can get an app. You can find out where the bike share stations are. You can find out how many bikes are there and if there's an empty spot to bring it back. We're beginning to see more different types of systems. I happened to be in Phoenix when they opened up their new bike share program, and they call it Grid, and it's got this little happy face. So again, they're trying to make the whole thing fun. And it is an opportunity in their program. They have a bike that doesn't have to be locked at a dock. It actually has a self-locking system so that you can move it to a different location. And we've seen ideas like this more in Germany so far, but it's beginning to come into the U.S. too, which is pretty exciting. And we're seeing that biking is a vehicle for change. Some of the really interesting things that I think public health is really far ahead of us on is the way people in different demographics are looking at their health, their community relationships, and from a transportation perspective, we're seeing more and more studies that demonstrate that millennials and boomers really want the same types of transportation opportunities in their cities. Both the Pew Institute and the Urban Land Institute have done some great studies, and AARP is going to be coming out with a really super study very shortly. I'd like to acquaint you also to one of the other reasons why there's a paradigm shift. Has anyone ever heard of this new book? Yes, fantastic, okay. So the National Association of City Transportation Officials decided that they had too much need to wait for the typical approach of transportation to innovate, because innovation in transportation can take a long time. And they got together all of the major cities that are trying to be more pedestrian and bike friendly, put out this guide along with the Urban Bikeway Design Guide. The good news is that individual cities and states can endorse it. I think 5 or 6 states so far have endorsed it, and a number of cities as well. And associations can also endorse it. So if that's something that you think APHA should do, I would recommend that to you. And then let's continue on. So the sponsorship options are opening the door to more partnerships. So who would ever imagine that Target would be interested in funding a bike share system? Who can tell me what bike system exists in the United States that's funded by a basketball team? Indianapolis. The Indianapolis Pacers have naming rights on their system. And I think that's a first. But what about football? What about other sports? We could actually do that as well. How many of you work in health equity? Thank you. And how many of you are working in transportation equity? Very good. Excellent. So I'd like to give you 2 examples briefly of the 2 cities that are really on the cutting edge of developing opportunities for making bike share more equitable across all demographics, and it would be Washington, D.C. and Boston. So at every point in the planning process, you need to look at how your decisions will affect your user groups. You need to look at the cost, how you're pricing the system, how your what is your gateway into use of the system? Does it always have to be a debit or credit card, or are there users who might not have access to that? Where are you locating your stations? What about the culture of the community? Are people utilizing bikes? Is biking something that they learn to do as children? Do you have to offer more education programs in order for them to get started? Do they know how the system works? The first time I was faced with a bike share kiosk, it was a bit confusing to me. And one of our presenters at our bike share webinar series said something that I think we all need to keep in mind, and that is, don't let the perfect be the enemy of the good as you're working to develop these programs. In Washington, D.C., they have two banks that are working to subsidize the bike share membership, so I would commend that to you. And so far, no bikes through the subsidized programs have been reported stolen or missing, which is very good. This is just an example of how Boston looked at each of their decision points and what they decided to do. So at every turn, they're working to make the make it more equitable. And so far, we're seeing a big difference because all Hubway users tend to be the demographics tend to be more white. But now with the subsidized Hubway program, and Hubway is the name of their system, it's funded actually by New Balance Shoes, which is kind of an interesting idea. And I'll just skip over that. As a bonus tip, I would like to commend to any of you working on transportation equity or interested in transportation equity to take a look at the Equity Caucus. It is a group that both the Alliance for Biking and Walking and APBP participate in. You can find partners in your initiatives around active transportation with all of the groups that I've listed on this slide. Go to the National Complete Streets Coalition and take a look. And there are many new groups that are forming that can be allies for you as well. And don't forget your chambers of commerce, because everyone who is getting into any local business is typically walking there. And soon I hope that all of our cities will look like this city, which is Copenhagen. So I will skip over this. I don't know how am I doing on time.
3 minutes.
Okay, very good. Then I will not skip over this. What about bike parking? How many of you have a place to park your bike when you go to your destination in your city? Okay, good. I like that. That's a good answer. How many people, how many of you are deterred from riding your bike because there isn't a place to park where you are going? Okay, a few. Sort of. So this is really, I think, the next big piece, and perhaps that's the beauty of bike share. Again, you don't have to find a place to park your bike. APBP is working on bike parking, and one of the really cool things that we're excited about is the opportunity to use a parking space, because remember, this is a public right-of-way. No one says that a parking space that has previously been designated for cars always has to be designated for cars. So what we're seeing in cities like Portland and Washington, D.C., and other cities all across the U.S. and North America are the conversion of single bike parking, or sorry, single car parking spaces or multiple car parking spaces into bike parking, and they're called bicycle corrals. Who has seen a bike corral? Awesome. Can you tell me which cities? New York?
Philadelphia.
San Francisco. They have some really great ones. Cleveland, nice. So you're beginning to see these ideas really percolating throughout the land, which is pretty exciting. And if you do have questions about bike parking, I would commend to you our bicycle parking guide, which we're in the process of updating. And on that note, I will stop. Thank you very much.